Welcome back to Kings of Columbus, Doug Lamorese without Bill Landis. And whenever I say that, I just imagine like people like, click, I'm out, turning off their YouTube, shutting off their pod. We have a good topic, even though it's just me, because it's not really just me. It's me and the tech subscribers today talking about whether 2024 could be Ohio State's greatest season ever. Because why wouldn't you talk about that in March? How do we go from like, oh, the defense looks pretty good. Oh, man, they have two guys in the backfield. It's like, could it be the greatest season ever for a program that's been around for 130 years? But I think it's a reasonable conversation, and I want to make sure it's a fun conversation because this is this. I'm just not going to allow us here to turn talent and potential and optimism into pressure. This is not going to be a negative season in any way of like, oh man, because you know, like the, you know, they're going to get all those TV type of questions during the course of this season. Like, oh, how much pressure do you feel to live up? You have great players. What's the pressure of great players? And that's what coaches always say, right? Because it's true. There's more pressure when you don't have good players. So this is what we're talking about. What 2024 could be at its maximum. And this is coming a little bit from Denzel Burke and Natty or Bust. And we're going to talk about specifically Natty or Bust at the end of this. But what we're really going to talk about, we're going to talk about 2014. We're going to talk about 2002. We're going to talk about 1968. Because I think you could argue the last three Ohio State national championship seasons all have a case for the greatest season in Ohio State history and all have a case in different ways as among the great college football seasons ever. So the thing that really jump-started this for me, and again, I thought we were going to do a rant show today. We'll get to a rant show. We'll wait till Landis is back because he likes to rant too. He comes across as a big teddy bear, mild-mannered, but he likes a good rant. I think Michigan's 2023 season was the greatest season in Michigan history. Now, listen, right? They were undefeated national champs in 1997 as well, right? But I think what happened, and we're going to talk a little bit. I asked the tech subscribers, like, what goes into a greatest season ever? Dominance or surprise? Great players, great wins, tough opponents, like that. What goes into it? But I think Michigan 15-0, all the off-field stuff that people who aren't Michigan fans are like, they cheated. Michigan's like Michigan against the world, right? Their head coach winds up suspended for 6 games total of a 15-game season, and they win anyway, right? And they have, there's not necessarily a superstar player, but there's like a depth of talent there. So you understand why I'm not a Michigan expert, but I think a lot of people would argue that was Michigan's best season. So it got me thinking, what would Ohio State's best season be? And so I asked tech subscribers, and if you want to be one, you can sign up at 614-662-4509. You send a text to that number, you get a link back to sign up. 2-week free trial. I said, what would it take for this season to be the best ever? And what's the best season ever so far? Is it 02? Is it 14? And if you were around, is it 68? And one of the things that is interesting is that a couple of the seasons that could have been the dominating wire to wire, they're the best team in the country, they're kicking everybody's butt, those seasons did not end in national championships. So when you look at 68, 02, and 14, 68, they are the super softs. And they're all these freshmen who in 67, there's rumors of like, hey, they're beating the varsity in practice and that kind of thing, right? So 68 sort of has this bubbling up thing, but they weren't number one in the preseason in 68 because people didn't exactly know what they were getting. They were number 11 in the preseason in 68. So like that's it built to being the super softs, okay? 02, what are we talking about, right? 02, right? Off the radar, all these close wins. And then 14, they lose in week two. And now it's the albatross around their neck for the committee. And so they're these builds. The three seasons I think that you would argue might be Ohio State's best seasons are builds. But the seasons where it's like, boom, watch out. Here comes Ohio State. They didn't wind up in titles. So if this is that, that's the case for could this be the best season ever? That's the case. Okay. Dominance matters. Could Ohio State have its greatest season in 2024? The case for why this could be Ohio State's greatest season is because Ohio State has not yet finished a season where they're destroying everybody the whole season. Okay. So they almost had it. So like the 2 years, I guess there's 3 years, right? I would say that could have been the dominating season. Because by the way, like dominance does matter to people. One of the poll questions I asked, what kind of Ohio State season do you prefer, to our tech subscribers? Ask this question. It's kind of a surprise and it turns out better than expected, or you are expected to dominate and you do it. Hey man, watch out for the Buckeyes. 76% of the people say they want dominance. They want expected to dominate and do it. So that's what would be on the table for 2024 Ohio State. I don't think, maybe on Kings of the North, Kings of Columbus, maybe like we can make this case. I don't think Ohio State will be the preseason number one team. I think it will be Georgia, but I think you could make a case for Ohio State. And I think depending what the reports are out of spring and in the preseason about the quarterback situation, about the offensive line, you know the defense is going to be good. You know the running backs are going to be good. You know the history of the receivers. If it feels like the offensive line and the quarterbacks are really coming together, I think, you know, I mean, it's just 65 people voting. What do they know? Honestly, like the people who cover Ohio State are going to have some effect on this, right? Because that's how, it's not like the voters, the AP voters aren't at practice. We are sometimes. I think they'll probably be number two. I think they'll probably be number two. So it wouldn't be wire to wire, because when you think about the teams that had a chance to be like the example of the dominant greatest season ever, 1969, I think is where you start, because in 68, when the Supersofts won it, again, they were number 11 in the preseason, but 69, they're number one in the preseason. They get 26 of 33 preseason votes, number one in the AP poll. So an overwhelming number one in the preseason poll. They only play 8 regular season games that year. They outscore their opponents by an average of 46-9. They played 8 games before Michigan. They played 9 regular season games. The first 8 before Michigan, 46-9, they are outscoring teams. And then they go up to Ann Arbor. Maybe some guys are sick. It's Bo Schembechler's first year, and Michigan springs the upset 24-12, and we're off on the 10-year war between Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes. But that 69 team attempting to be back-to-back national champs, if they had done it, that would be an argue for the dominant greatest season in Ohio State history. 2006, Ohio State gets 35 of 65 first-place votes in the preseason AP poll. They are number one in the preseason. They are number one the entire season. They win 2 games over the number two team. They beat number two Texas early in the year. They beat number two Michigan, of course, in the first 1-2 Ohio State-Michigan game ever at the end of the year. They outscore opponents by an average of 36-10. It's not quite as dominant as 69, just on the score. But again, they're playing Texas. It's not Vince Young Texas. It's Colt McCoy Texas. Playing Texas, playing Michigan, right? And they're just, there's nothing's close. Right, 42-39 against Michigan is close, but nothing's close the whole year. But then they go and lose to Florida. So like that, and people have brought that up, like what 06 could have been because of, you know, what they were, what they had as the talent they had. This is from Dan. I think 2006 wire to wire number one with all those big games, the Heisman winner in Troy Smith, and all those accolades. Should have been amazing. It would have been amazing. Something like that combined with like an LSU season in 2019, right? That's what the 2024 team would have to do. You'd have to get like a version of that 06 Ohio State team that then tops it off. So that's what 06 could have been. So I think, you know, if they wrap that up, wire to wire number one and the Heisman winner, because wire to wire number one is pretty rare. Wire to wire undefeated number one, like in the modern era, 99 Florida State, 2004 USC. And that's it. As far as I can tell. Like, so that's maybe you start, otherwise, maybe you start number one, then you have a rough game or two, you dip down, then you come back up, right? But it's rare. And Ohio State in 06 had a chance to do that. Wire to wire number one didn't do it. 2019, could 2019 have been that kind of dominance? They started at number five in the preseason. They got to number one in November. They outscored opponents 49-13 before the Clemson playoff game. So that's 13 games, 49-13. So again, 1969, 46-9 before the loss. 2006, 36-10 before the loss. 2019, 49-13 before the loss. Now, part of that, unlike 06, not a good regular season schedule. Like they didn't play number two twice in 2019. But a lot of the other things, you have three guys who finished in the top six of the Heisman, as you guys know, Justin Fields, Chase Young, J.K. Dobbins. Like great offense, great defense. It feels like you have superstars all over the place. All of that is real. And I think you could make a case there, right? And what would have helped that too is if you win in 19, you're beating LSU in the national title game. You're beating I think Joe Burrow that year maybe had the greatest season in college football history. You win the Heisman, your team goes undefeated, you're the national champion, you're the number one pick. Like, what else would you want to do? You know, Cam Newton had a year like that at Auburn. Sort of knocked off that uber talented LSU team again. Would have risen to that. Now, I didn't include 2015 there because 2015 wasn't dominant. They had dominant talent. They didn't play in a dominant fashion. They were playing all these goofy games, right? We know that. They didn't look. So again, like you would have to create a new reality for the 2015 team. If they had been what they could have been, should have been, then maybe 2015 is in that conversation. But like the way they played on the field consistently, they never rose to that threshold. So that's like the idea to me that the model for 2024 that could make it the greatest season ever, Ohio State's done it before, they just haven't finished it off. And the season they have finished off wouldn't fit this model. So people do like dominance. And that's why this could reach that destiny of the best season ever. This is David M. I think the only way to top 2002 is with the mirror image of that season. Dominant in every game, right? If you are dominant in every game, and at the end of the year, you're in consideration as one of the best teams to ever lace them up in college football. And if you do that in 2024, you get the extra bonus of seeing your hated rival have its best season ever and then immediately overshadow it, right? So you jump on top of Michigan and you're dominant. That dominance could do it. This is Dave B. I think 2024 could top 2002 in the sense that we're perceived as one of a handful of favorites with Georgia, Oregon, and Texas. If we dominate all opponents and win by more than 7 points, it won't have the Cinderella vibe. But the sheer dominance in an expanded Big Ten and winning the full 16-17 games in dominant fashion would do it for me and the new world of the 12-team playoff. So that's obviously part of this too. You're going to have to, whoever wins this first 12-team playoff, like you're going to get the respect of running through three or four playoff games. If Ohio State's going to have the most dominant season ever, it won't be four playoff games because they'll get a bye in the first round. But then you got to win right in the round of eight. You got to win the semifinals. You got to win the national championship. So like if they're the number one seed, and I think they would be the number one seed probably with this schedule, I guess they could, if they're undefeated, I guess they could be number two to an undefeated Georgia. So, but if you're number one, you'd be playing like the eight seed if things go normally in the first round, the four seed, and then the two seed. So like that's three great opponents, which I also think is part of the equation here. This is Tony. I'd prefer a 2019 season where we just dominate all season and finish it off with the natty, right? Like this is, as we talk about like what is the best season, like people like kicking butt, man. Terry, yes, it could be the best ever. Never say never. I am hopeful for wire to wire, no doubt championship. A couple of close games, but being the favorite and the natty, no upsets, that could happen, right? So this is where we are with a lot of people that in talking about 02, and we're going to talk about 02 a little bit more, like it's magic, right? I maybe don't want magic. Instead of going like, I don't want to go to a magic show, I want to go to a boxing match or a UFC match and see somebody get knocked out. I want to see somebody kick somebody's butt. I don't want to see a rabbit pulled out of a hat. This is Justin. 2002 might be the greatest in terms of storyline and exciting finishes, but it wasn't dominant the way this team could be. I'd like to see a season where we just roll over everyone. This is another one. The surprise of 2002 and the season-long underdog story, plus how long it had been since the last Natty, will make it nearly impossible to beat as the greatest season ever. This is Leaf. But I think a season where going in, Ohio State seems potentially unbeatable, and then it actually comes true, could rival 02. 2015, 2019, 2022 all seemed like years where either going into it or during the course of the year, Ohio State seemed unstoppable and then got stopped. In my opinion, if any of those teams got it done, they'd be up there with 02 for the exact opposite reason that 02 is so beloved. So, you know, we're establishing this thing here of it's the opposite. Right. And this is part of it, too. It seems like a team that just dominated on both sides of the ball, won every game by double digits, and made a case for the best college football playoff, college football team of all time, could make an argument for the best season. That's Matthew G. Right. That if we and like. That's what we're talking about. Could this Ohio State team be in an argument of like one of the great seasons in college football history? If that's what we're talking about, then that's what we're talking about. And again, like LSU 2019. I think is an example of that. This is Eric W. The only thing to consider, in my opinion, is national perspective of the 02 Buckeyes, as opposed to, say, 2019 LSU. That LSU team is considered to be one of the best ever, whereas 02 Ohio State is never in that conversation due to perceived weaknesses and luck that allowed us to win. I don't buy that, but I do get annoyed at it. Like in the U part two, how they all said we got lucky, it was kind of presented as fact. During the season, nobody thought we deserved to be there. And as a result, and one late flag, the rationale is that we just got lucky. I think an LSU type blow everybody out year would maybe be more satisfying to look back on. But I think 02 is as much fun as a fan could have during the season. Okay. So the argument for dominance is clear. So if it's going to be the greatest season ever, like what is the competition? Okay. What is currently Ohio State's greatest season ever? Here's what I put in the texter poll. What do you consider to be the greater Ohio State season, 2002 or 2014? And so this was pretty clear. 50% of the voters said 2002. 50% said 2002, 28% said 2014, and then 22%, I gave an option of like, you were too young to really appreciate, or maybe you weren't even alive for it, right? We have people who are 20 years old, 18 years old in our tech subscriber group. So maybe like, it's not that you couldn't vote, but maybe you don't feel like you know enough to really vote. So the people who voted, it's like 2-1, 02 to 14. So it is in different ways, but like to me, and I didn't cover 02, I did cover 14. And then like 68, I also think deserves to be in this discussion. But that's another one where it's like, you know, there's not as many, like 68's quite a long time ago now, right? I did say, if you watch the 1968 season or have studied it enough to appreciate it, how would you compare it to 02 or 14? 77% said, I'm just not old enough to really have an opinion on that. 16% said they'd take 02 or 14, and 6% did say they'd take 1968. So like, if you want to take like 1968, I think that's like potentially a tremendous choice of, you know, why you would think that would be in contention for one of the greatest seasons. I mean, the way we talk about the super softs, right? This is JC. Still got to go with 68, led by a bunch of softs no one ever heard of. Shut out number one Purdue, beat Michigan 50-14, then beat USC and OJ Simpson in the Rose Bowl to stay undefeated and win the Natty, right? That was a 1-2 Rose Bowl. So like 68, this is the thing. There's options. There are not a lot of programs that have options like this. When you say, oh, greatest season ever. Let's talk about three national championship seasons, two of them undefeated, right? So I think 02 is better. I think it might be that 02 is like better in hindsight as opposed to living it. Does that make sense? That like in our looking back It's like, oh, 2 is the greatest season ever. But living it, this was a point that someone made it. And I'm sure there's those, well, you watching this and listening to this, that can relate to this. This is Thomas G. Doug, 2002 was torture. I will always look at 2014 as the season because we bounced back from early loss. We trounced Michigan State in a big game. We beat Michigan with JT Barrett going down. We walloped Wisconsin 59-0. We took down Bama, and then we easily handled Oregon. Zeke was a monster in the last three games. He outplayed the top three Heisman vote-getters. 2002 had Clarette and his nonsense in the Miami game. Tressel got it done for sure, but I never want my punter and my field goal kicker to be that important again. So can you have a season be your greatest ever if some fans felt it was torture while it was happening, right? That's a point. A team could be more dominant. This is Pat S. However, the pure madness of the 0-2 season will never be topped. 7-1 score wins. Then it was capped off with beating a team that people thought was unbeatable. It would be darn near impossible to have a season live up to 0-2. So like, I think we all know what happened in 0-2. So do you see it as like beautiful madness or unbearable torture? That probably affects your opinion of like whether you think this season could be better. This is Nate A, our guy Nate. Nothing will ever top 0-2 for those of us who witnessed it. Take everything you mentioned, add the fact that they had not won a championship in modern history. This is an important point we want to talk about. It was an unbelievable and magical season, but that doesn't take away from how special any given season can be, and I have high expectations for this one. That's a part of it, right? To have not won either 68 or 70, however you want to talk about it, you know, the 70 title, like they lost the 60, it had been 32 or 34 years since Ohio State had won a national title. That has to be part of how you view 0-2. I'm sure it is. Scott F., the other factor for 0-2 is the 30-year drought from the last title. That will never be repeated unless we hit another big title gap, which will not be the case. So like that's, it's like, oh, how could you make a better season? What if, how about 3 decades of not getting it done? Anybody want that? Oh, you don't make a really great season. Oh. Let me tell you, like 2056 would be awesome if just Ohio State hadn't won a national title in 42 years. That's not what anyone's rooting for, right? So, probably that won't happen again. And we've talked about it before. Like there was just that you're like adrift a little bit, right? Obviously, we know 9-3 80s and the Cooper great talent falling just short 90s, like. That's something that 0-2 had that like something like this season. Okay, it's been 10 years, but it's not the same. And Ohio State's been constantly in the mix. This is Matthew. Doug, the question relates directly to my experience as a Gen Xer and the point that you made on the Valentine's Day pod. The 80s and 90s were tough. My only recollection as a kid of Woody was the Clemson game, right? So you're a kid. What do you know about Woody? You don't like experience the greatness of the Woody Hayes era. You're raised in the 80s and 90s, which is not being good enough and then being good enough and falling short. And then here comes 0-2. It would be hard for any season to eclipse 2002. Pure magic, grown men cried. So I don't know. If we're going to count the grown men crying, I don't think 24 is going to, oh, Jack Sawyer and Denzel Burke were so good. I'm probably not going to top 0-2. Oh, Josh Simmons and Josh Fryer were much better at offensive tackle than I expected. It's probably not going to happen. I'll never forget the one-year transfer of Will Howard. It's not the same. So you can't top that. So you have to want something different. Two ways to look at this. This is Lauren B. 2002 is a season of drama, not domination. Maybe 2024 usurps it as the greatest because we dominate opponents, just an unstoppable Buckeye machine with generational talent and depth. Her second point. I have been a Buckeye fan for as long as I can remember, but admittedly, 2002, when I was 8 years old, is at the edge of my memory. I remember lobbying my parents to be allowed to stay up for overtime and then fighting unsuccessfully to stay fully awake through the second OT. I don't really remember the season itself. So I think my generation of Buckeye fans and younger will claim 2024 is the greatest season ever, assuming it plays out the way we think it could. But it's hard to claim any single season as the greatest as an experience, as opposed to the stats, because the season fades into the memories of generations past. So I do think this is the point I think that Lauren is making here is like, it depends where it comes in your life, right? And there are a lot of people, this is 2002 was Hollywood movie material. That's Andrew C., right? that, again, it's not dominance. It is a drought. This is Austin Peay. Times were different. That was a roster of Ohio kids playing their butts off against teams equally or more talented than they were and persevering all the way to glory, right? We're in a different era of sort of like expectation and talent. But I do think one of the things that really mattered, this could be better, says Thomas W. The tension was high in 02, but part of it was the opponent. Miami was billed as unbeatable, and breaking them is a big deal. It would be great to do it in a modern style of winning. So like that part of it too. So I think the things in 02's favor, right? Not dominant, but 7-1 score wins. This underdog team, it's a little bit like Hoosiers, right? Like it's that kind of, I really could. I know there've been documentaries and stuff. I mean, I don't know. They're not gonna make like a real movie, right? What's the guy? Who's the Willy Wonka guy? What's the name of the Willy Wonka guy, Mike? I can't think of his name. The hot young actor. All I can think of is Thomas Castellanos. He's the Boston College quarterback. Timothy, I have King of the North Brain. What's
Timothy
his name?
Timothy Chalamet. Yeah.
I swear to God, I was thinking Thomas Castellanos. This is what happens when I'm trying to cover 26 Northern teams. Timothy Chalamet is Craig Krenzel in Holy Bucca. Actually, that sounds pretty good. I take it back. Would you go to that movie, Mike? Timothy Chalamet is Craig Krenzel in Holy Buckeye?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Will Ferrell is Jim Tressel in Holy Buckeye.
Yeah, I love Will Ferrell.
Yeah. I don't know a lot of young actors. Sterling K. Brown is Maurice Claret in...
I won't lie, I don't either. I'm not a big movie guy, so...
All right, so now we are casting Holy Buckeye. Oh, man. Now I kind of want to finance this movie that I said they're not ever going to make in Holy Buckeye. Okay. But I don't... So like, this is a different kind of thing, right? This is like a Terminator kind of season in 2024. But so I think a lot of people want to be the Terminator, as we said. So I do think like 14 had a lot of drama too, just because like, you know, they lost. So like the idea of is it 2002 or is it 2014? This is Mike B. 2002 was the best representative for Ohio Midwestern grit, a gift of a season if you like a near heart attack each week. However, 14 was the most fun season. Once that team got rolling with the offensive line, Zeke counter run plays, and play action passing dominance, this year has a chance to mimic 14. Here's another 02 versus 14. For me, and I'm sure many others, 14 and 02 are on the same level. This is Jake S. While 2002 did have the undefeated season and several close games, I think the close games were against teams that shouldn't have been that close. The team just got better and better. After the season is over, you're looking at several legend-type players from that team. 14 is the same to me. Sky-high expectations, and then Braxton gets hurt. Expectations are dialed back, and then the loss to Virginia Tech causes a lot of uncertainty. Everyone thinks they're a year away. The team just gets better and better. The next thing we know, they're dominating Wisconsin with the third-string quarterback and winning the Natty. I think what gives the nod to 02 is the fact they dismantled a dynasty, in addition to arguably destroying a program that hasn't ever been close to the same, and talking about Miami there. And I do think, so one of the things here, well, I'll say this for when we get into like what makes a great season. Cause I do like, I think that's an interesting conversation of what you really want from a great season. But here are the people who voted for 14. Greg S. It's 2014 for obvious reasons. The awesome defense with Bosa, the third string quarterback narrative, Zeke Elliott's 3-game stretch facing the top 3 Heisman finalists in a row, 59-0 over Wisconsin, overcoming the early upset, the final vote jump into the top 4. That's drama. You don't even know if they're going to make the playoff, beating Alabama, 85 yards through the heart of the South, the first college football poll, where like the first college football playoff where you're in a 4-team playoff, right? Beating Michigan. That's a lot to overcome and a lot of drama and clutch performance. So Greg, I think, you know, Greg, 14 is a great candidate for this, right? It's just the magic pixie dust of 02. John, I will continue to hold fast to the 14 team first to win the college football playoff. Their 3-game gauntlet through Wisconsin, Alabama, Oregon, riding a third string quarterback in Cardale Jones will be talked about 100 years from now, whenever Buckeye fans gather. It's a strong case, man. I think there's a little bit of personal preference like involved with this, but man, it's kind of cool that they have like a possibility, I think, of doing it this year. So I would say, and by the poll vote, right? I think we've established that it's 0-2. That if we're talking about can this be the greatest Ohio State season ever, I think what it's trying to top is 0-2. 50% of the people who voted, and again, that's a quarter of the people didn't vote, a quarter voted for 14, half voted for 0-2. And 68 makes a compelling case. And I think like 68 is so legendary with like the players they turned out to be, and that they have a shorthand. You just say super softs and you boom, 68 locks right in. It's a compelling case as well. But I think we're going to establish for the rest of this discussion that Ohio State's greatest season ever is 2002. And so now we will use that as a jumping off point to try to really discuss 02 versus 2024. When we come back, like what goes in to a great season and what are the, and what are the components that 2024 might have? I gave a list of components to our text subscribers. We'll see what they thought was most important in determining a great season. We'll do all that next on Kings of Columbus. All right, back on Kings of Columbus. Again, if you want to be a tech subscriber, participate in these surveys, send in comments that might be read on the show. I think Bill Landis and I will have a rants show, if not in the next couple weeks, right? We'll take some rants on stuff. If you want to do that, you can send a text to 614-662-4509, and you'll get a link to sign up. So again, like this, as we record this, Ohio State's on spring break as a school this week. They've had two spring practices. A lot of other northern schools around the country are starting this week. Boston College started this week. Penn State started this week. Utah starts this week. Notre Dame's underway. A lot of other schools starting next week. I think Michigan starts next week. Iowa starts next week, schools like that. So like we're on a little break, but there's a lot of stuff happening. So again, like this is kind of a good time to get news and analysis and updates. You know, I'll tell you, like the Tony Alford stuff, boom, boom, boom. Austin is sending out, you know, send out a million texts about that kind of thing. So you guys have heard me talk about being a tech subscriber before. 614-662-4509. Okay. What makes for a great season? Like what are the things that we're really talking about in that conversation? So must it be undefeated, I think, is one of the conversations. Like do you need to be perfect by the NCAA's count? I do, you know, they have a whole thing, and I double check 64 undefeated national champs all time, 9 since 2002. So I don't think it has to be 1,000%. Like 2014 wouldn't qualify under this. Ohio State's three perfect seasons that led to national championships. They had another one that had a tie, but 1954, 1968, 2002, all undefeated seasons. I do think like in a tiebreaker world, if we're talking 02 versus 14, I think it gives it a slight edge to 02, even though the actual loss in 14 actually added to the drama. If it's a tiebreaker, a zero is better than a one. So like could, you know, Ohio State certainly to go undefeated through this, through what would be a 16-0 regular season, which like has never been done before, that would be like a huge part of it. The idea that this would happen in the first game, in the first year of the 12-team playoff, like the history part of that, I think matters. This is our guy, Dougie D. Could it top 0-2? Yeah, win the first 12-team playoff and shove it right up Michigan's cheating butt. Yeah, that would... definitive. Yes, this could be the greatest season ever. I think that matters. I think that's one of the things in favor of 14, that was sort of historic there, that they won the first 14 playoff to even win like two playoff games like that. It never happened before. So it certainly set the 14 playoff off on the right foot, that the four seed won and sprung an upset. And like, it's like, hey, this is why we have 14. So like, that's in favor of 14 versus 02. And I think it would make a compelling case here in 2024. The dominance versus surprise, you know, we've talked about. I do think I maybe coming in thought having it be unexpected is better, but I think maybe having it be unexpected is better in hindsight after you know you've won, after you know Terry Porter threw the flag, after you know Maurice Clarett stripped Sean Taylor, after you know Michael Jenkins caught the holy Buckeye pass from Craig Krenzel, that like, it's just one of those things. Are you a knot in the stomach person, or are you a kick someone's butt person? Like, what do you prefer, right? That there is a lot of like personal preference in how you go about it, right? So like Jack, I think, laid this out pretty good. This is a good question, Doug. Emotionally for me, probably not. Probably 2002 could not be topped. I was only 14 in 2002. I was at the Illinois double OT game, and it was only maybe my second real year of fandom, and that season cemented the obsession that I have now. However, I feel like I watched that team and always felt like they were playing above their ability. I already told my wife I have set my expectations for 2024 irrationally high based on the offseason, but I feel like this team feels more talented than any team in recent memory. Maybe even the 2014 team, and that sounds crazy. And now I have two boys, and I'm hoping this season does for them what 02 did for me and cements the same crazy obsession. Emotionally better? No way. Better team and talent? I say yes. That's Jack and Peoria. I think that's well said on a comparison of like, you know, what the difference could be. Another thing of like what 04 could be. This is Chris K. I enjoy having some sense of dominance over the season. And while we went undefeated in 02, it always felt like we were about to lose right up until the end of the title game. I was so stressed, I didn't enjoy it as much as some other seasons. I loved 19 and 22, even though they ended the way they did. Those were super fun teams. Back half of 2014, too. 2024 can pass those for me. The 2021 class returning, overcoming three straight Michigan losses, being able to win the first 12-team playoff like we did the first 4-team playoff, grabbing power back from Michigan, Day's growth as a coach. All of it will make this year super special if we win it all. So like that's, right? That's a pretty good case for what could happen this year. So if you like surprises, I do think that we might be out of the world where Ohio State could ever have a surprise national title again. So if you like surprises, these are the preseason rankings of all the national title teams since 2002, right? So it's kind of surprising there actually have not been that many teams that were ranked number one in the preseason. It's only two that were actually ranked that high. There were seven teams that were ranked number two, though. Okay. So this is 23 teams total, 14, 16, 19, 20, 23, right? Because it's 22 years, but the one year they had two champs. So nine times the team that won the national title was ranked number one or number two. Okay. Seven times they were ranked 3 through 5. Three times they were ranked 6 through 10. Three times they were ranked 11 through 15, and only once were they out of the top 15. And so overall, that's 10, 19 out of 23 national champs since 02 were ranked in the top 10 before the season. So Ohio State was one of the four teams that wasn't. Ohio State was number 13 in 02 coming into that season, okay? Ohio State was number 13 in 02. In 2003, LSU split the national title. They were number 14 at the start of that season. In 2010, Auburn was number 22. That's the team that came from furthest off the pace and won a national title because Cam Newton just got there and people didn't know what was happening there. And then Florida State in 2013 was number 11. So since Ohio State in 02 was number 13, there have been three other schools that were outside the top 10, 13, 14, 22, 11, but we haven't had it in the 14 playoff. We have not had a team outside the top 10 in the 14 playoff. So this element of surprise, like TCU, like made the national championship game from way off the pace, but we haven't had a champion. So like this is a little bit, if you like magic, I just don't know that we're in an era where with what Ohio State is now, with the reality of Ohio State, the perception of Ohio State, I don't know that we could ever have a surprise season like 02. So That's something that if you care about that, it's never going to be that way again. So, it depends if you care about that or not. So that's not going to be the case this year. Again, my expectation of if there's 65 AP votes, I think it's about 65. I think it might be like 45-20 Georgia and nobody else gets a vote. I don't think Oregon would get a vote. I don't, maybe Texas. Maybe it'll be like 43 Georgia, 20 Ohio State, 2 Texas, I think would be my prediction on what the preseason poll will look like. So that's not going to be part of what this is. So maybe you don't care about though. Do you think Ohio State could ever have a surprising national title again like 02? No. They have real national title hopes every year now. That got 64% of the vote. 36% of the text subscribers said they still think they could have a surprise. I think I would be in the group that says no. Like, you can't have that anymore. It's just not how it's ever going to work. It's just not how it's ever going to work. Like, it's a new world, and that's okay. And it's still the idea, though, of like, could this do it, though? 55% of the people I said, do you think it's possible that a 2024 Ohio State National Championship season could become the greatest Ohio State season ever? 55% said, yes, it could. That this could be the best season ever. 32% said it's a long shot, but if it's perfect in every way, yes. And only 12% said no. That it'll be almost impossible to top 02 or 14. So that's more than half that think it's a very real chance. And it's 87% that think like, yeah, like this really could do this. So, okay, like that's what's on board here. So then what goes into it? What matters to you? And what boxes could this 2024 season check? Okay, rank what matters the most to you in considering how great, memorable, and fun an Ohio State season is. I gave 9 different categories, okay? I will say surprising people and exceeding expectations came in last of the 9. So that's how much that like it's not a primary component for people. Even though it's a primary component of O2, it doesn't have to be that. Number one on what is required is a tremendous, memorable Michigan win. So when we talk about the existing seasons, right? 1968, 50-14, destroyed Michigan. Destroyed Michigan. So 68 checks that box. Ohio State was number 2 going into that game. Michigan was number 4 going into that game, 50-14 in Ohio Stadium. Okay, 2002, fun, tight, close, 14-9 Michigan game, right? So like that checks that box, I think, right? Like a really good Michigan game. And then 14, it's this crazy game where JT Barrett gets hurt and winds up sitting in the stands at the end of the game. So like that, like qualifies. That's like kind of like a crazy Michigan win. So I think like, you know, it's one of those things. Like, do you have to beat Michigan to have the greatest season ever? It's not even worth asking, right? So everybody knows that. But how, like, does the Michigan win have to be memorable? I don't know that like these are the greatest wins in Ohio State Michigan history, but they're very good wins. So Michigan was unranked. In 14, Ohio State was number 6 going into that game, 42-28, but like a good Michigan win. So that is a requirement for this. And I think when you talk about like how 2024 could pass it, the idea that they've lost 3 straight to Michigan and then that would be a component of this, that's a big part of it. And like this idea of beating Michigan, Tony M was among the people who like laid out a Michigan plan for this season that greatly would affect viewing this as the greatest season ever. 2002 is the best so far. And I felt that way at the time. It was as good as it could get. To beat it would mean going through a murderer's row of teams in the playoffs while possibly beating Michigan 3 times along the way. Regular season, conference championship, playoff wins versus Wolverines, all that combined might top 2002. So that's one of these areas where that's a little difference of what this season could have that others don't in the terms of like getting revenge on Michigan. Okay. Number 2 of what matters to an important season in your vote, beating a huge opponent at the end of the year. And I will say the 3 seasons that we would count as the best Ohio State season so far have this like unbelievably. It is a huge component of these great Ohio State seasons. 1968, USC is the defending national champ. They won it in 67. They are number two. It's in the Rose Bowl. It's in USC's backyard. And USC has the Heisman Trophy winner in O.J. Simpson. And number one, Ohio State goes and beats USC in California. Like, that is as good as it gets. 27-16 in a 1-2 game, beating the Heisman Trophy winner. All right, 68 does it. 02, end the Miami dynasty. Huge underdog. Miami is the team of that era, and Ohio State beats them. Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. And then 14, the Alabama game. Alabama is the defining team. It's not the best Bama team ever. They're the defining team of that era. Ohio State beats them. Big Ten versus SEC, like, awesome. So for this season, I think, to then under that qualification be in the argument for the best season ever, I think they need that. And who would that be? Now, of course, so Michigan's its own thing. A great Michigan win is its own thing, even though that would be beating the defending national champs. So it's kind of two things. Do you have to beat Georgia? Like, does it have to be Georgia waiting at the end, whether it's in a semifinal or the championship game? Maybe, especially given how things went 2 years ago in the Georgia game. I think it might be necessary that along the way, the path to Ohio State's greatest season ever includes a win over Georgia. Now, if it's like, hey, Georgia got beat in the semifinal by Texas, and now it's Ohio State, Texas, okay, you can only play who you play. But I think it would be like a sliver less if they don't get to beat Georgia. Okay, because beating a huge opponent at the end is important to you guys. Beating some great, highly ranked opponents along the way was third, right? So this is what we're talking about, 06, right? They beat number two twice. So the chance to go play Oregon on the road, right? That's going to be a big one. I do think the Penn State game would qualify as that. And then, of course, the Michigan game, like, the non-conference isn't going to provide that. Like, it's not a good non-conference slate. You're not having that. You know, if you had, like, the Notre Dame game this year and you could add that in, like, think about that. Like, you have, like, last year's Notre Dame win, or even the Notre Dame win from 2 years ago. Either of those Notre Dame wins added to this season, but you're not going to have that opportunity. So it's like beating Oregon and Penn State and Michigan would have to suffice here. And so I think those are good opportunities. But like in 19, we're talking about dominance. They hardly had any of those opportunities. So I think, like, right, I do think that matters. Multiple games that you can point to and say, man, that was a great win. Getting revenge on an opponent or opponents in some way as part of this, right? This was a huge thing, like in beating Clemson in 2020, right? Now, Michigan revenge would qualify here. Georgia revenge would qualify here. So, like, this is really good. There's like two potential revenges here with Michigan and Georgia that I think would push this season up the ranks of what really matters to you guys. Number five is dominating on a regular basis. So this is the thing here we're talking about. You know, they're winning by 20, 30 points a game in those 69 and 06 and 19 seasons that came just short. They certainly weren't dominant in 02. They had some close games actually in 68. And then 14, how dominant were they in 14? You know, like they were like handling their business in 14, right? Let's see, 14. Yeah, 66-0 over Kent State, right? They had the double overtime game at Penn State. Oh, like Joey Bosa tackling two guys and being exhausted at the end of that, and JT Barrett like willing that victory. But like they beat like the Michigan State win in 14, that revenge game, that was really important. I think like the 59-0 dominating, right? 59-0, that was huge over Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. So I think 14 certainly has that over 02 and like kicking butt along the way. But I think that's out there for this 24 team to maybe be even more dominant than 68, 02, or 14. Because the whole point is when Ohio State's had dominant seasons so far, they haven't gotten it done. So to be dominant and get it done, I think 24 could be better than anything they've ever done. Players and coaches I feel like I know and like. I thought that's number six out of nine. I thought this maybe would be higher. In a portal world, in a world where guys go to the NFL after 3 years, I thought maybe feeling like you could really identify with players would be higher on the list. And so I do think this 24 team with all the guys who are back would really meet that threshold. that, like, I think you feel like you know Denzel Burke and Lathan Ransom and JT Tuimoloau and Tyleek Williams and Travion Henderson and Emeka Ebuka, right? I feel like you really know these guys. So I think, and like that kind of narrative, right? Like I think that they came back, that would be part of this too, right? That they came back with a goal, dominated and achieved the goal. That will be the defining story. That's the thing too. You kind of have, like, you have a little bit of these outside things that matter, right? Supersoft 68, Holy Buckeye 02. We're naming the movie Holy Buckeye. I don't know enough actors. Michael B. Jordan is Michael Jenkins in Holy Buckeye. Michael B. Jordan's like 40. I don't know. I don't know any young. The only young actor I know is Timothy Chalamet. Emma Stone, right? She could do anything. So, like, that's your thing. And then 14, it's the loss and coming back from the loss. But that these guys came back with a goal and that you do know them, I think in hindsight would be something that really matters to people when in evaluating the season if it gets done. All right. Next on the list was some tight, dramatic, exciting games. So this is where 0-2 beats everybody, but you guys only ranked it 7th out of 9th and having close, exciting games where you think they might lose. So if that doesn't matter to you that much, you prefer dominance to excitement. Okay. So this doesn't have to be like 0-2. You don't need 7-1 score games for this to maybe be better than an 0-2. Superstar, All-American level players, like this is where I think like 14, like when you look back, when you think that they had in the 16 draft, because they were all back in 15, the 16 draft, they wind up with 10 guys in the first three rounds. So you look back on there and you're talking about guys who went on to be superstars in the NFL and who were All-American caliber players in college. Joey Bosa and Ezekiel Elliott and Darren Lee and Eli Apple and Taylor Decker and just like guys all over the place. So like 68 and 14 trump 0-2 in that regard. Jack Tatum and Rex Kern and Jim Stillwagon, like all the guys from the Supersofts in 68, like there's just like 0-2 doesn't quite have that. 0-2 has like Claret, but they're more of an underdog team. So like this team will have that. But again, that wasn't super high on your list. And then surprising people and exceeding expectations you don't care about. So what you really care about is beating Michigan, beating a huge opponent at the end, and beating great teams along the way, right? Those are your top three things. So there's a shot there. I think they'll meet Georgia. Don't you think they're going to play Georgia? I think we're getting Ohio State. Now, I was correctly underestimated Georgia last year. I never had Georgia in my playoff last year. And I think the Carson Beck talk is a little hot right now. I'm not 1,000% sold on Georgia, but they obviously are talented. And like, of course they're going to make the playoff, but maybe it won't be. Maybe it'll be a quarterfinal. Maybe it'll be like a 2-7 game. If Georgia doesn't win the SEC, and Ohio State wins the Big Ten, right? Could be a 1-8 game. 1-8, Ohio State, Georgia. That'd be fun. We'd take that. Okay, so like that's what you care about. And so that's like what is required for Ohio State of whether this could be the greatest season ever for Ohio State. Here's a couple people who laid out plans for the 2024 Ohio State season. I love people. Fan fiction. I got a plan for you. This is Michael H. Extremely tough to top 0-2, but here's one borderline fever dream idea that could top it and is just barely plausible enough to dream about. Ohio State is 11-0, while Michigan has a good enough record in the Big Ten that they'll make the Big Ten title game even with a loss. Ohio State beats Michigan in the shoe. Ohio State beats Michigan in the Big Ten title game, but Michigan sneaks into the playoff at 10-3 or something like that. Michigan wins one or two games in the playoff and gets to Ohio State again, where they lose to Ohio State for a third time. Ohio State goes on to beat a giant of the SEC and win the Natty. That would be the second time in a row that a new playoff era opened with an Ohio State title. Obviously, this is extremely unlikely, but not impossible. Erasing the last 3 years and the Ohio State-Michigan record in such dominant fashion en route to winning it all and opening the new playoff era with a bang once again would be a next-level dream. I think it would top 0-2. I love fan fiction. We should just write a movie in the preseason every year. And then, would you guys, if I wrote like fake game stories for every game before the year and then read them on here. And it was like, Ohio State beats Oregon 38-31. And like, here's how it happened. Would that be fun? Or would that be just what a crazy person would do? Brian Strange. Great question. 02 was a magical, unexpected, and special season. 2024, in my opinion, has the opportunity to match that magical feel by achieving the following. 1, beat Michigan. 2, flip the script on 7-1 score wins like an 02 and dominate games for 4 quarters. 3, in the biggest games of this season, Michigan, Penn State, Oregon, and the playoffs, have that memorable turning point play, which is essentially the difference maker that Ohio State fans will always remember where they were when it happened. Win the Natty. Number four, win the Natty. Boom. Go Buckeyes. Oh, just that. I love it. I love the plan. This is a point that someone made. Derek said this, that maybe this could have happened last year. I think the Buckeyes had a hypothetical route to having the greatest season ever last year. Win over the Wolverines, redemption if they would have got it. Win over Oregon in the playoffs. Win over Georgia in the championship, redemption. So like that, right? Like if that's how that could have gone. Now, it turned out that Washington beat Oregon, so that really would be hypothetical. Neither Ohio State nor Oregon nor Georgia made the playoff. But like as the season was progressing, the idea that Ohio State's path to the national championship could have included wins over Michigan, Oregon, and Georgia, all revenge games, is very interesting. And again, talking about revenge games, which was number four on our list, you voted at number four. We'll throw Oregon in there as a revenge game because, again, they did beat Ohio State in the regular season in 21, and that threw them off. That's all possible now this year, right? This is Derek continuing. I saw that lining up with like 3 to 4 weeks left in the season last year, and it would have been a fairy tale ending to the year. So if you think that could match the 02 season, then it could happen this year with the playoffs. Other than that, I feel like it would take the Buckeyes falling off in order to beat 02, right? You'd have to create this world where they don't win a national title for 32 years or 30 years. And then now we're in that world. And I don't think that that's going to happen. This is Scott, who came with a very interesting perspective. And he put this in my head because I was talking about like, could Ohio State, like the 02 season is like Hoosiers. So you wind up talking about sports seasons as movies. And Scott, this is a very rare circumstance. I was lucky enough to be enrolled as a student for both the 02 and 14 championships, undergrad, then law school. That's crazy, Scott. 02 was a miracle year, literally filled with miracle moments. Every game felt like one we could have lost, but we all had this confidence that they would somehow pull it out, and they always did. I don't think anything could ever beat that in terms of the nonstop thrill of every game. I hope with every fiber of my being that the Buckeyes run the table this year. I want to hang 100 on those cheaters up north. I want revenge against Georgia too, whatever that might look like. Assuming we win a championship this season, it will be the greatest, best feeling sigh of relief any fan may ever have. But it will be more like watching an old familiar comedy. You keep putting it on because you know how it's going to end and it makes you feel good. 02 was like a suspense thriller you've never seen before. Scary, uncomfortable, couldn't feel good about it until it was all over and the good guys win. I guess it depends on what kind of movie you like, right? Because now, like, that's what we're kind of saying, like, we kind of can't have thrillers anymore. You can't have a scary, like, there's no jump scares to Ohio State football anymore, right? Not in the same way of, like, being number 13 in the preseason. Okay, so what started this conversation was the idea of Natty or bust, okay? And this is what Denzel Burke said. And do you like that? Do you like that idea? And so I had sent something to the texters that sort of got a reaction that then started this conversation that led to the survey that led to all these texter comments, which is, I think Ohio State fans should embrace Natty or bust if you can do it in a way where the bust doesn't mean anger or lock yourself in a dark room kind of disappointment. Because I don't think opportunity and talent should only be setting you up for misery, right? Which, Natty or bust, but more like Natty or it's okay. That doesn't fit on a t-shirt. They have to be good this year, right? They have to be good. They have to be competitive. They have to look awesome. They have to be in the conversation as one of the best teams in the country. They have to be viewed as a national title contender in September and October and November. They have to make the playoff. And I do think the 12-team playoff certainly removes a great deal of that pressure from a natty or bust conversation because you can lose. And that's a conversation we continually have had. We haven't dived into the extent of saying, let's have a full show about let them lose. But it's I think, a great thing for all of college football that one loss will you not ruin your season. You're still going to be excited for Ohio State to go out to Oregon in the middle of the year. But if they lose, because I think Ohio State and Oregon are two of the best four teams in the country, and it's tough to win on the road against one of the four best teams in the country, if Ohio State does not win that game, it does not ruin their season. And I don't think it is required for the threat of ruining your season to be there for a game to be great in October. So that changes a lot. And I think it should take a lot of the pressure off. But I'm going to push back against any suggestion of pressure this year. But I think you should embrace natty or bust in, like, with a smile on your face in the best sense possible, because the talent is real. That's real. The discussion is real. And the disappointment would be real, but sometimes sports happens, brother. Like, I don't know what to tell you, right? Sometimes the best team doesn't win. Sometimes there's other really good teams. So I asked this question. How do you feel about the idea of natty or bust for Ohio State this season? I'm all in on natty or bust and will be at least a little disappointed if they don't win at all. That won at 57%. Natty or bust is cool, but I'm just looking forward to a great season. If they play great but don't win at all, that's sports. So that's sort of where I would be. Natty or bust, why? Because the talent's good enough to say that, but it's not a pressure-filled natty or bust. 36% said that. I don't like natty or bust talk. It adds too much pressure. I just want to enjoy the season. Only 7%. So only 7 who are like shutting their ears on this, right? So I do have a couple people who push back against that idea, though. This is Kyle A. I think the natty or bust mentality is terrible for the fan base and program. I get it. There's a real chance of one, but we have a major unknown at quarterback and an entirely new playoff format this year. Oregon, Texas, and Georgia are extremely good. All it takes is one terrible call to lose a playoff game, as we know. This should be a year to beat Michigan or bust, make the playoff or bust, win at least one playoff game or bust. That's at least healthy. I don't disagree with Kyle there. And I do think a beat Michigan or, like, who was I talking to? I guess I was on a radio show. We were talking about, I think, like, Ryan Day is here to beat Michigan. This focus is to beat Michigan. And that's a must. I think beat Michigan or bust is fair. Now, that's different than beat Michigan or the coach is fired. But, like, beat Michigan or bust, like, we feel we have to do it. You as fans feel they must do it. That's one game. And just given the circumstances of Michigan, that's one game where if Ohio State plays its best, that should happen. So play your best against Michigan or bust, beat Michigan or bust is fair. Natty or bust, as Kyle points out, there's too much that can go into that, and that you have to win 3 playoff games, and that you have to beat 3 great teams in the playoff, and that you have to have 3 games of luck and health and all those things. So, what I really don't want to do is get to the end of the year and talk about that, like, Ohio State lost on a last second field goal in the semifinals and the season was a failure, right? I don't like those conversations. But if you can handle natty or bust and only have fun with it, go, because it's totally realistic. Randy says this, and I want to talk about the people who are saying, like, but what about these things that maybe don't make it as realistic? This is Randy. You guys crack me up. Now it's going to win the national championship. Leading up to anything less will be failure. That's what he's like saying, that we are, me, that I'm adopting this stance now. For 2 months, it was assumed that Will Howard was definitely the starting quarterback. And your survey was choosing between the two freshman quarterbacks for the 2025 starter. I sent a text survey to the folks a couple weeks ago that said, who's the starter in 25? Like, I felt like the spring practice, the 2025 quarterback battle was starting. Is it going to be Aaron Nolan or Julian Sands? I didn't have Devin Brown in there. Totally eliminating Devin Brown and Lincoln Kienholz from that discussion. And it's true. I did. I only gave two choices for the 25 survey. Then after one practice, it's 50-50 for Devin to start this year. I agree that the defense could be very good this year, but how can the expectation be the natty when there are so many questions on offense? Quarterback play, tight end, right side of the offensive line, and even consistent center play are all potentially questionable. We all assume the receivers will be good, but we're still replacing the best receiver in college football. So I Randy is absolutely right here. And here's the thing. I think I still believe that you need a great quarterback and a great passing game in good weather, in domes, in the playoff to win. That still, to me, is the number one formula. But it's not how the last three national champs have done it. And if you look like in a world where certainly wasn't the case last year, Ohio State's quarterback was not his best player last year. But I think in 21 and 22, despite all their talent, certainly you would have argued that C.J. Stroud might be. 19 and 20, you would argue that Justin Fields is. 18, Dwayne Haskins dishing it, like you would argue that Dwayne Haskins is. That's three first-round quarterbacks, right? So you had 5 years of Ohio State having a first-round quarterback running the show. Last year wasn't the case. When you look at the last three national champs, two for Georgia and one for Michigan, they actually were more designed like 2024 Ohio State is designed, which is great defense, run game, and don't ask your quarterback to do too much. Now, actually, that might not be true for 22 Georgia, because as we talked about leading up to that Georgia-Ohio State semifinal, in 22, Georgia actually was an offensive team more than a defensive team, and Stetson Bennett was capable, and as you saw, did lead a game-winning drive at the end against Ohio State. If he hadn't, Ohio State might have won, probably would have won the national title if he wasn't good enough. But he's not Trevor Lawrence. He's not Justin Fields. He's not a first-round pick. He's not an NFL quarterback right now. I think he went in the fourth round. So it's still like when you talked about who are the best players on Georgia in 21 and 22, you're talking about defensive tackles. You're talking about linebackers. You're talking about offensive linemen. Who were the best players for Michigan last year? You're talking about offensive linemen. You're talking about defensive tackles, right? Probably Mason Graham and Chris Jenkins and guys like that. So that's how this Ohio State team might be. So I still think the normal Ohio State plan, C.J. Stroud, Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson, Justin Fields, Julian Sayin, Jeremiah Smith, chuck it around, Air Nolan, Cardale Tate. I still think that's the best plan to win. However, it's not what won the last 3 years, and it's not how Ohio State's going to win this year. So how can we be like, oh, I don't know about the quarterback. It's in flux. I don't know about the offensive line. I was freaking out a year ago and not much has changed. How can we be in that world and think it's natty or bust for Ohio State? And then it's a reasonable conversation because I don't think those two things are opposite of each other because of what Michigan and Georgia have done and because of the way Ohio State's built this year, because the defense is that good, has the potential to be that good, and the running backs have the potential to be that good. So they need to raise the level of play on the offensive line. I do think Seth McLaughlin, that kind of veteran center, as opposed to throwing Carson Hinsman in as a first-year starter last year, I do think it's reasonable. Like that's just the center play is going to elevate. And then at the very least, even if the tackles are the same with Josh Simmons and Josh Fryer, they're a year more experienced than they were last year. So I think they have to be at least as good and probably better. Even if maybe you would like to see maybe something happen there, that something moves, that there's a different right tackle, maybe. But I'm okay with natty or bust. I don't think it's the game plan for Ohio State long term. But in this little window, I mean, if they had C.J. Stroud, or if like Julian Sayin or Aaron Nolan was a sophomore or a junior, holy moly, like they'd have every vote in the preseason poll. They'd be a minus favorite to win the national championship if they had a Heisman level quarterback for sure. But I don't feel weird having a natty or bust conversation, even though two practices in the spring, there's still uncertainty at quarterback and on the offensive line, because it's been proven you can win that way. And I also don't know, like, who's going to be the quarterback that Ohio State's going to face that's going to be like, uh-oh, I can't believe they have to go try to beat that quarterback while not having a quarterback of that caliber. Like, who's the Trevor Lawrence? Who's the Joe Burrow? Who's the Justin Fields? Are you going to be that scared of Carson Beck in Georgia? Are you going to be that scared of Quinn Ewers in Texas, of Dylan Gabriel and Oregon, of Jalen Milroe in Alabama, of Drew Aller in Penn State, of Cam Rising and Utah, of Cade Klubnik and Clemson. I don't know that that guy is out there. So that, like, the gap between whatever Ohio State's quarterback play is and the teams they'll be facing in the playoff, I don't know that they're going to be facing Bryce Young or CJ Stroud in the playoff. So I think that's part of it too. So I would suggest trying to embrace Natty or Bust in the most optimistic, upbeat way possible, in that Ohio State has enough talent for a Natty or Bust conversation in March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November to be reasonable. But nothing's guaranteed. So don't lock yourself in a dark room if it doesn't go your way. Is that Pollyanna? Only embrace the Natty part. Don't just Natty. No Bust. Natty. Natty and like a fingers crossed emoji. But it's not luck. This is an 0-2, man. You don't need 7-1 score games and holy Buckeye luck. Who else are we going to have be in? Al Pacino is Mark D'Antonio in holy Buckeye. This casting is awful. I apologize. We can cast it. I got to think about it and then we'll cast it. And I'm writing this down for a future. Maybe we'll do it on the rant show that we'll have coming up. Cast holy Buckeye. The story of the miracle underdog 2002 Ohio State football team. Cast holy Buckeye. Okay, Bill will be back soon. Kings of the North. The plan for the Thursday show is to have Luke Fickell, Wisconsin coach, former Ohio State coach, former Ohio State player, on the show on Kings of the North. So if you like Luke Fickell, I'm going to ask him all about like kind of what's going on in college football, what's going on with the Badgers, how he's feeling going into year two. Cincinnati made a huge leap going into year two when he was there. So could Wisconsin make a huge leap this year? The plan is to have Luke Fickell on there. If you did not catch our Kings of the North earlier this week, we did a game we call Hire Fire Portal, where we like brought up topics and said, like, I'm going to hire this, fire this, and stick this in the portal. Hires you like it, fires you don't, portals you're not sure. Game might sweep the nation. It might not. But we'll keep doing what we do here. Obviously, stuff happening with Ohio State. Make sure you're watching and listening to the podcast daily, to Snap Judgments, to everything that's going on with the Ohio State Buckeyes. This is the place to get it here on the podcast feed. And we're just so happy that Kings of Columbus can be part of that. So we'll see you guys on the Kings of the North feed, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on your favorite podcast app. And we'll catch you still here every week, where we talk about the Buckeyes here on Kings of Columbus. Thanks to our great producer, Mike Yorostowski, for making me look good. Well, look reasonable. I mean, there's only so much you can do when you're 50. And sound good. And thanks to you guys, most of all, for being here. Again, if you want to be a tech subscriber, if you're like right at the end, you got to the end, it's like, oh, what's that number? 614-662-4509. I'm Doug Lemaurice. And that was Kings of Columbus.